Begin the current daf, set the shvuas daf mem gimel. Begin on the bottom line of daf mem beis, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, where, although we spoke about it in the previous Mishnah before that, regarding the opening topic of this parak of shvuas adayonin, there are certain oaths that the judges make us swear, for example, moed b'miktzis. However, there are certain categories that are an exception to this law. There are slaves, documents, land, and hektish. Moreover, the Mishnah said there are other different halachas regarding these four categories that are exempt. They are exempt from kefil if they steal, from dalad v'hei. And moreover, the Mishnah continues, as our Gemara explains, shemachinim en nishba. If an unpaid custodian was watching this, although in certain situations he has to swear that it was not negligent, regarding these four items, he's going to be exempt from taking an oath. Says Gemara Manan, merely, where do we know this from? The Talmud like on the Braisa, similar as we brought in the previous stuff, from a klal prat to klal, regarding those halachas, the same thing applies to these halachas that the psukim exclude these four items. Because the pasuk says, "Ki itin ish el ri'ehu." If a man will give to his friend, that's klal. It sounds like anything he's going to give him to watch. Then it says, "Kesef ha'kelim," silver or vessels. That's prat. That's a specific thing. Lishmer to safeguard. That's again chazav kol. Goes back and says a general category or just whatever it is to watch. Now, as Rashi points out, this pasuk is by the parasha of Shemachinim, as the Braisa teaches in Hashoyel and Bamitzid of Tzadi Dalma Beis, that the first parasha in Parasha Mishpatim, when it talks about the custodians, is by Shemachinim, second one is by Shemachar, and the third one is talking about Hashoyel. Now, regarding Shemachinim, the only liability he has is that he has to take an oath that he wasn't negligent. Like the pasuk says in Shemesh Beis, the Nikr of Balabais or Lekim, that he goes to the courts, Imloy Shalach Yad, he has to say he didn't touch it, he wasn't negligent, and all those types of things. Now, regarding the liability of theft, for that he's exempt. Although the pasuk says mishnoyim, that's for the shemesacher. But regarding the shemechinim, he exempts himself with an oath. But it's regarding these types of items that he has to take an oath. What type of items? So that's what the Braisa says. We have a klal prat to klal. The halacha is when you have a general statement, a specific, and then a general. You only qualify the liability of that halacha according to the specific that's mentioned over there. Ma prat mefor is just like the specifics that are mentioned over there. Kesef and kelim are davar metaltel, the things that are movable. But guf mamon, they're intrinsically worth something. I've called davar metaltel, but guf mamon, also anything that's movable and intrinsically worth money, a shemechinim would have to swear. Yatsu karkoi shem metaltel, that excludes land which is not movable. Yatsu avad mishuk shel karkoi, slaves are always compared to land, are also excluded. Yatsu shtaris shavu bishem metaltel in guf mamon, that excludes documents because even though it's movable, it's not intrinsically worth something, it's just as a proof of something. And hektish regarding not being chayav shvua for an item of hektish is because re'eyu ksiv, the pasuk says if a man's going to give to his friend, but if it's regarding to hektish, which is not between a man and his friend, there's no chayav shvua for shem mechina. Next halach of the Mishnah, related, Mishnah said, a paid guardian, although generally when the pasuk says, if it gets stolen from him or lost from him, as it says, then he has to go ahead and pay. Regarding these four items, he doesn't have to pay. Says the Imam Nolan, where do we know this from? So to the Torah, because like the Braisa teaches, it says later on, the next parasha, if a man's going to give it to his friend, that's a klal, that's a general statement. Chamoir or shor or se, if a donkey or an ox or a sheep, that's prat, that's a specific. V'chol behemo lishmar, and any animal to watch, sounds like whatever it is, chaz of a kol, that goes back and is a general category. So you have klal, prat the klal, so you have same halacha, chulu, etc., which excludes what's the prat, a mefurish has to be dav matalta v'gufa mamon, excluding all those three items, and until we have hektish is excluded because re'eyu, because if there also says re'eyu, and therefore for a paid guardian, who if it gets stolen or lost from him, these items would be an exception and he would be pot. Now the Mishnah continued and qualified, although we said that one is not chayav shvua, let's say by moed b'miktzis, for karka, there was a machlekes in the Mishnah, Remei Reim, he says, but yesh dvar m'shehen k'karka, v'ein k'karka. There are things that are like land, that is that they're attached to the ground, but they're not like land, and that is one would be chayav shvua on those things, which the Chacham disagree. Now, what's the case, says the Mishnah? When you have 10 grapevines that are laden with fruit, and he says, I give you 10, he says, no, you only give me 5, that's a moed b'miktzis. Remeir says, you're chayav shvua, chum say you're potter. Ask the Gemara, mechlad Remeir sub, is that to infer that Remeir holds? Kalam achub l'karka, whatever's attached to the ground, but it's not ground itself. Ein l'karka is not like land, and therefore you're chayav shvua, moed b'miktzis? But then ask the Gemara, the mifligi b'tu'unis, instead of disagreeing regarding a case specifically like the Mishnah described, when you have 10 grapevines that are laden with fruit, and he's only admitting to 5 of them, but then forget about fruits. Disagree with even barren trees, which don't produce fruits, that because the tree itself, the vine itself, even though it's attached to the ground, Rav Meir says it's not like ground and you would be chayv shuvah. The Chama say you would be chayv shuvah. Why mention the fruits at all? Elirad explains the Gemara because Amar Bi Yisrael Chanin, he says, no, of course Rav Meir agrees. If whatever's attached to the ground is like the ground itself. But what they're disagreeing about over here is when you have the grapes that are ready to be harvested, ready to be picked. That's the machlekes. Rav Meir sub a kibitzuris damen. If it's ready, we view it already as if it's already picked, and therefore it's not considered karka, although technically it's still attached. But halachically we view it as not, and therefore you chayv shvu. Whereas Rabban sub like kibitzuris damen, the Chama say no, we don't view it as if it's already picked. Ultimately, it's still attached, and therefore it's like karka, and therefore you can be potter from a shvu. Misha concluded by saying einish boin, the oath of moed mixes is not. Ella, it's only al davar shebemida, veshebemishkol, chulu, veshebeminyan. It's only something that can be measured, that can be weighed, that can be counted. Only then are you chayv shvuah might be mixes. But if someone just says a general term like a whole house full, we don't know exactly how much that is. And the guy says, well, I don't know, it's just whatever it is, and it's less than the amount that the guy claimed, that's not liable for shvuah might be mixes. Now, Amar Bai, he qualifies as, leishon, we didn't learn this halacha, el do amalei bai istam. Only if he said a house full. But it didn't say which house. So that's not measurable. And the guy says, well, I don't know. It's whatever is there is yours. And it turns out to be less than what this guy was claiming. That's not measurable. Aval omale bayezem ole. But if he says, this house full I gave you. And the guy says, well, I don't know. Whatever is there is there. And it's not full. That on that says Abaya, yediyah tanase. There, his claim is definitive. It is known. Because since he says this house full, and this guy's giving him not a house full back, so you could see the what's lacking over there. And it's like the other case of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says you are going to be chayv shvu, when this guy says, I gave you up until the roof. And this guy says, no, you only gave me up until the window, which we qualify that as definitive, because that's measurable. Here also, bayezeh would be measurable and would be chayv shvu. To which Amalei Rav, he asked Nabayi, Yachi, but if that's the case, are the Tani Sefer, then instead of the Sefer, when the contrast, it says, what's the case that you would be potter that's not measurable? It says, a houseful. And Abai is saying it's only when he says a houseful, but if you say this houseful, it'd be chayav. But then the Mishnah contrast says, but if Zeh, let's say Zeh Oymer Adaziz, let's say the claimant says, I gave you up until the beams of the roof, which stick out into the house, that's how full it was with this item. Vezeh Oymer Adachalayna, and the defendant says, no, it was only up until the window. Said the Mishnah chayav. Then he's going to be chayav, Shvu might mix this because that's measurable. Ask Rava, according to you, Abaya, Liflig v'lisne b'dida, let them differentiate and explain the sefer, the contrast that when you would be chayv, even in the case of the resha. Meaning, the Mishnah should have said, b'med v'amum, when do we say when he says a houseful and he gives him back not a houseful? And even though that's technically a way to make this, he's going to be patrik, is not measurable. That should be only when he says, b'bayis mali, when I gave you a houseful. But according to Abaya, it could have said in the case itself, but if he says the word this houseful, then it would be chayiv. Elam, Rava disagrees, and he says, lo'ilam in the chayiv, no, a person is not liable for shvu'im might mix this. Unless he claims from him something that's measurable, that's weighted, that's counted. And he admits to him something that's measured and weighted and counted. When you say a houseful, that's not something that was measured, weighted, or counted, and therefore that's not going to qualify with the Shavuot Moed Mixes. Says the Gemara Tanya, we have a Braisa that supports Rava. Because the Braisa says, if the plaintiff claims, there's a core of grain that you have of mine. And the guy says, no, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have anything of yours. So Pati is exempt, like we said in the Mishnah, because he's Kaifrakol, denies everything. Let's say he says, Menorah Gedoli Yesh LeBiyatcha. There's a very large menorah that you have of mine. And the guy admits, "Ein lecha biyadi el menorah ketana." No, you only give me a small menorah. Says the Braisa, "Pater." Why is he pater? Because as one of the qualifications, the variables for the shvu'im ma'id mixes, we said it has to be the admission has to be partial of the claim. Here, what he's claiming, he's not admitting because he's claiming a large menorah and he's admitting something totally different, which is a small menorah. Let's say azer gedoli yesh lebiyadcha. He tells him, "There's a large belt of mine that you have," and he says, "Ein lecha biyadi el azer ketana." No, you only give me a small belt. So again, pater, it's not admitting to the same thing that he's claiming. Aval Amar Le, but let's say he tells him, Kord for Yesh Lebiyatcha, there's a korv of grain that you have of mine, that's by you. V'halo Imer, Ein Lecha Biyadi El Lesach, he says, no, I only have of yours a half a korv. Oh, that's chayv, that's Shvu'im Ma'id Mixes. Let's say he tells him, Menorah Bas Eser Litn Yesh Lebiyatcha, there's a menorah that's 10 liters weight that of mine that's by you. And he says, "In lo chabiyode ilabas chamesh lit." And he says, "No, I have a menorah that's 5 liters of weight." So then chayiv. As Gemara is going to shortly explain why that's considered mimin ha'taino to be chayiv shvua might be mixtus. But one thing is that we're proving from the Braisa is where the Braisa concludes. It says, Klolichal Davar, the rule of thumb is, La'ilam in a chayiv, a person not chayiv a shvuv made mixes, ad shea tenenu, these are the same wordings as Rava, ad shea tenenu b'davar shabimidu b'shamishka b'shamin, until he claims to him something that is measured and counted or weighted, and v'yaydele b'davar shabimidu b'shamishka b'shamin, and that he admits to him something that's measured and weighted and counted. Which the Gemara says, "Klolichal Davar La'Suimai." What are we including by saying that this is the general rule? Sounds like it's including something in that which maybe we would have thought is not counted. Lav La'Suy Bayezeh Molly. Isn't it coming to say regarding the case of when this houseful is full, where even though like Abaye's logic was trying to say that that's Yedi Tanase, and that we say that no, that it has to be literally something that's counted, weighted, and or measured. And that you don't have by Bayezel, although technically you could go ahead and measure it, but it wasn't, and therefore that's the case that's being excluded, which is like the way Rava said, that's not going to be qualified for Davar Shabimidu B'Shemishka B'Sheminyan. Now, parenthetically, once we introduced this Bryce to support Rava, the Gemara asked the question, what's the difference in the ratio of the Mishnah when it says he's claiming a big menorah and he admits a small menorah? What he's claiming, he's not admitting. What he's admitting, he's not claiming. Because he's talking about one type of menorah, and he's admitting a totally different type of menorah. It's apples and oranges. But if that's the case, how do we understand the sefer? Bas Esther, Bas Chamesh Nami, the same thing then should be when he claims from him a menorah of 10 litres, which is certain weight, which is obviously big, and the guy's admitting that of only 5 litres, which is smaller. So they were also, why over there did we say Yechayiv Shvuah? What he's claiming he's not admitting. What he's admitting he's not claiming. So on that, Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, Hacha b'menorah shecholias askinan. The case that we say Yechayiv Shvuah, when he says 5 litra, and the guy was claiming 10 litra, is we're talking about a menorah made of different pieces, connecting pieces. The kamayda le mina, meaning when you want to go from a 5 litra menorah to 10, you just add on more pieces. When you're admitting 5 litra out of the 10, it's part of that bigger menorah. It's not like a big menorah and a small menorah, which are two different items. These are pieces, and therefore it's considered min hatayin. And that is the Gemara, you can't say that, because if that's the case, then even the case of the belt should have also said in the Braisa that contrast. It should have said that the guy claims there's a belt that's 10 amas of mine that you have. And the guy should have said, no, I only have a belt that's 5 amas. The Braisa should have said that there he would be chayiv, in contrast to the big belt and the small belt, which he said yipater. It should have said that case. And it could have explained it in the case of a belt that's made up of many different strips, which are strapped and tied together. And that would have been a case that you could have had mimin hataina in the belt too. Ella, obviously, delifa lekatani. Obviously, the Braisa was not talking about that type of a category of where you can have additions of pieces. That's why they couldn't tell you a case of belt being chayiv in the Moed Mixes, because either it's a big belt or a small belt, two different types of belts. So therefore, ask the Gemara, Hachanam b'shal cholias lo'ketanis, obviously by the menorah case, we're also not talking about made of pieces. So how do we understand the case of why when he claims 10 litra and he admits 5 litra, he's going to be chayiv a shvur, why is it mimin ataina? So Elam Omer, Rabba Abba B'mamali explains, Shani menorah is different than the belt. You could drag it, you could scrape it, and then diminish that 10 litre menorah into 5 litre. So that 5 litre menorah could be part of the larger 10 litre menorah. In contrast, when, like in the case of the ratio, when he was claiming a large menorah, he was admitting a small menorah, you can't say that. You can't scrape it and make it into a small one. That's two totally different menorahs, how they construct it. So too, by the belt, you neither can you say that he cut off of it, because you could tell where the beginning of the belt starts and the end of the belt. You can't just cut it and say, okay, this small belt is part of the longer belt. And therefore, there you couldn't have a case of being chayiv shvuah ma'id miktzas. In contrast, by the heavier menorah and the less weighted menorah, there you could scrape it. It's not big and small menorah, it's just more weight. There you could scrape it down to make it less weight, and therefore it's considered mimin hatayna to be chayiv shvuah ma'id miktzas. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing the theme of our previous Mishnah is regarding the shvuah ma'id miktzas and kofar hakol when you deny the whole thing. It says the Mishnah as follows. It says it in a unique type of a case. Hamava es chaveri ala mashkin. If someone lends money to his friend on collateral, meaning he takes collateral, something as to hold as insurance for the loan that he's lending him, that's worth a certain amount of money. Now, vavra mashkin, the lender loses the collateral. Now, Amalai, he tells to the bar as follows. He says, look, Sela hil v'sichalav. I was lending you a Sela on this mashkin. And v'shekel ha'yeshava. The collateral that you gave me to hold on to was only worth a half a Sela. I lent you a Sela, and what I lost of yours is only worth a half a Sela. So, basically saying, you owe me another shekel. V'halo amaloi. And the defendant says, no, that's not the case. Ki ela Sela hil v'sani lav, yeah, you lended me a Sela on this collateral. V'sela ha'yeshava. But the collateral itself was worth that same amount of a Sela. Now that you lost my mashkin, I don't owe you anything. Says the Mishnah, Potter. So the defendant, the lav, the borrower, is exempt from taking a shvua of Maida Mixes because he's denying everything. He's saying, I don't owe you anything. He's not saying, I owe you half. In contrast, if let's say the lender says, Sela hil v'sichalav, I had lent you a Sela on this collateral, which I lost. V'shekel ha'yeshava. But and the collateral was only worth a half a Sela. V'halo amaloi, and the borrower says, no. Ki ela Sela hil v'sichalav, lav, yeah, you lent me a Sela. V'shloisha dinarim ha'yeshava. And the collateral was worth less than the loan. A Sela is 4 dinarim, and the collateral was worth 3 dinarim. Oh, then he's already being made by mixes. He's admitting that he still owes him something, but denying the rest. Meaning he's saying, you owe me a half a Sela. He's saying, no, I only owe you a quarter of a Sela. Chayiv, so then he's going to be liable for Shvua Maidim Mektis. Now the Mishnah switches it around, and the same type of case, but depending on the value of what's being disputed of the Mashkin, here it's actually the borrower is claiming from the lender. Sela Hilvisani Lav. The borrower says to the lender, the loan that you gave me on my collateral was only a Sela. The Shtayim HaYeshava, the collateral I gave you that you lost, was actually worth 2 Sloim. Now you owe me a Sela. And the lender says, no, I only lent you a Sela, the Sela HaYeshava, and the collateral was also worth a Sela, and therefore we're even, I don't owe you anything. So Pata, the lender is exempt from swearing because he's Kayfar HaKal, he denies owing him anything. But let's say Sela HaYeshava, the borrower tells to the lender, you lent me a Sela on my collateral, and my collateral was worth 2 Sloim. And the lender disputes him, he says, no. You're right, I lent you a Sela. Yeah, it was worth more than my loan, but not 2 Sloim. It was worth 5 dinarim. Oh, Chayiv. Then the lender is Chayiv Shvua because he's admitting partial. He's admitting 1 dinar from the second Sela, but denying 3 dinarim. So he's Chayiv Shvua of Maidim Mikzas. Concludes the Mishnah, Umi Nishben, who swears how much it was worth? Because someone's got to take a note. What are they swearing? They're swearing what was the value of the Mashkin to be exempt from paying the rest, which they're denying. Misha Bakad Netzli, says the Mishnah, whoever the deposit was by, who was holding on to the deposit, who was holding on to the Mashkin, it was the lender. Which the Gemara is going to explain which case of the Mishnah is this going on that we make him swear on the value of the Mashkin. And the reason why we make him swear how much the value of the Mashkin, why don't we make maybe the borrower swear how much the value of the Mashkin was? No, because Shemi Shabazeh, because if we did it that way, maybe the borrower would swear. He'd say, I swear that it was worth this amount of the mashkin, and you owe me money. And then the mal is going to say, I'm going to show the world you're a liar. Because he's going to say, I actually still have the collateral. And maybe the borrower wasn't so precise in his precision of the evaluation of the mashkin. And now the lender is going to make him possible for witnesses, for to be an aid, or for testimony to take an oath, because you're a liar. I showed the world. You promised that the collateral I lost was worth 2 Sloim, and here we see, I still have it, and we take it to the assessor, and he sees it's only worth a Sela. So therefore, we don't have him swear, we have the one who claims that he lost the deposit, who was holding on to it, we make him swear the value of that, in regards to exempting, regarding the liability of the discrepancy between that and the amount of the loan. Now the Gemara actually asks on this last halacha, as we continue to Mid-Beis, what the Mishnah concluded, Ahai, on which halacha is the Mishnah telling us that we make the lender swear how much the collateral was worth? Ilema Seifa, everything is going on the last case, the last cases of the Mishnah, which we had that it was actually the borrower claiming from the lender that, hey, you owe me 2 Sloim, you owe me now 1 Sela because the collateral was worth 2 Sloim and the loan was only 1 Sela. And that we say, okay, we make sure that who's going to swear how much it's worth, it's the lender. As the Gemara, but typically the Shvuga b'malva. Everyone would agree, of course. Anyway, he's the defendant. He's the one that's being made to mix this. Of course he's saying the Shvuga. What's the Chiddush in saying that he swears how much it's worth to exempt himself? The lender, in this case, would always make the Shvuga because he's made to mix this. Therefore, Amar Shmuel, he says, no, it's going outrageous. It's going in the case when actually the one who's made to mix this is the borrower. The lender is claiming that the loan was more than the collateral. and the borrower is admitting, yeah, but not so much like you're saying, and therefore I don't owe you that much, and that really he should have to take the Shavua, and that says the Mishnah, but we don't make him take the Shavua, because we're concerned if he swears to exempt himself by saying how much was the collateral really worth as much as the loan, the lender is going to pull it out and say, you're a liar, and now you're possible for Shavua and Edis, so therefore actually we make him take that oath. B'chenam Reb Chiya bar Ravi says, it's going Aresha, B'chenam Reb Yechon, this is Aresha. However, on this, the Gemara asks, my Resha. If it means the first case of the Mishnah, that actually was a case of when we said that he's actually Pater from Mishavua. Because that's actually the case when there was Kaifa HaKoel. He was denying everything. He said that actually the collateral is worth the same amount as the loan, and therefore it cancels out. Therefore, says the Gemara, no, it's going on the safe of the Resha. It's going on the Resha, I mean the first types of cases when the lender is the plaintiff. But it's going on the second case. The Mishnah said, if the lender says to the borrower, Sela hil v'sichalav, I lent you a Sela on this collateral. And v'shekel ha'yishava, the collateral that I lost was only worth a half a Sela. V'halo oim aloy, and the defendant, the borrower says, no, ki ala Sela hil v'sani lav, yeah, you lent me a Sela on it. V'shloisha dinarin ha'yishava, it was actually worth 3 dinarin, not like you're saying that it's 2 dinarin. And in that case, is michayiv, is michayiv v'shvim, when it mixes, because he's admitting to partial of the claim. That's what the Gemara explains. That's what the end of the Mishnah was saying. The Shavua Gabi Leivihi, according to the basic halacha of Maida Mixtus, the oath is incumbent upon the borrower to swear that it was worth 3 dinarin and not 2 dinarin, which is a shekel. But that's what the Mishnah concluded. V'shaklu Rabbanan mei leiva v'shidua al malva. The Rabbanan, however, took it, the rabbis took it from the borrower and placed it on the lender, as the Mishnah explained the concern that we would have if the borrower would swear, maybe really the lender still has it, and they're just using it as a ruse to disprove and to defame this borrower. So we actually have the lender swear how much it was worth in regards to the liability between him and the borrower. However, the Gemara says, but v'hashd om Ravashi, but actually now that Ravashi says, which this is brought in Masechta Bava Metzi and Perek HaMafkid, it's going on the teaching that Rav Huna says over there. He says that regarding a paid custodian, a Shem Asachar, who says that, I know I was washing this thing for you, but it was stolen from me, which actually that obligates him in payment, because a Shem Asachar is chayv in Geneva. So in spite of the fact that he wants to pay for what he claims is his liability for having it stolen from him, Rav Huna says that we make the Shem Asachar take an oath. What type of oath? He's not exempting himself. That it's not still in his domain. Why? Because we're concerned that actually maybe he wants that item. He liked this thing that he's watching with this person. But he's not going to outright steal it. But he wants to acquire it by money. So he says, yeah, it was stolen. He'll pay the guy. And it's like a paying for like this thing. He'll be able to keep that thing. Now the Gemara asks on Rav Huna from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that we're concerned that the Yitzhi Ha'al Sabikon. We said that we have the lender swear, not the borrower swear, because we're concerned the borrower swears that maybe the lender really still has it, and he's going to whip it out, and he's going to say, you're a liar. How could you swore there was this amount? Everyone could see clearly it wasn't worth that amount. So that the Gemara asks over there, but if you say that also that we make him take an oath, that it's Einer B'Shusai, like Rav Huna was saying, when someone makes a claim, we first make him take an oath that it's not by him. So how could the lender go ahead and whip it out, which is why we say he takes the oath, because we're concerned he's going to whip it out. Don't we make him take an oath regarding this, that he's a shamer on this collateral first, that it's not by him? So how could we have that concern? That he's going to whip it out? Doesn't Rav Huna say we always make him take an oath? On that, Rav Ashi answered on that, that you're right. With the explanation of our mission is different than we assumed up until now. The Kaimalon, we understand in the halacha of our Mishnah that actually both the lender and the borrower are taking oaths. Zenish b'she'ene b'shusay, the lender swears, like our Mishnah says, that it's not in his domain. V'zeh, and this one, let's say in the case of the seif of the reish that we described, this one, that the oath is on him, which is the leiva, he's the one that's being made the mixes. He is Nishba Kamashava. Yeah, he does. He's actually the one who swears how much it's worth. Meaning, when we said in our Mishnah, Anoman Aleph explains the Gemara, Hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Mi Nishba Tchila. When the Mishnah says who swears, it means who swears first. And that says the Mishnah, Misha Bekodin Etzloi. The one that the deposit was by him, who's that? That's the lender. He swears first. What does he swear? Not the oath we were talking about in the Mishnah about how much the value of the collateral was. That the defendant does. In this case, that's the borrower. He swears first that it's not in his domain. Why? That's what the Mishnah is describing. Because Shemi Yishavazeh. Because maybe this one, who's this one? The borrower will swear. And he actually does swear. He is the one who takes the oath of how much it's worth. Because he's the defendant. He's the one who makes this. But if he's going to be swearing first, Then v'yetzi alas bekadin. Then the lender might go ahead and whip out the bekadin and say, ha, you're a liar. I'm going to show the world that you're a liar. So again, it's going to the case of the sefer the reisha where the oath is on the leiva. He actually does make that oath. What the Mishnah at the end is saying, like the way Rav Ashi explains to answer for Rav Huna, but Metzia, is that it's talking about in regards to the oath of Ein B'Shusa, which is like Rav Huna's halacha. Yes, he has to make the Shvua Shav Ein B'Shusa. And we are concerned for that. Now, that's what the Mishnah says. However, not that he takes the oath of how much the value is, because actually, it's the borrower that takes that oath. However, he takes the oath of Ein B'Shusa first. If he already swore it's not in his domain, he can't go ahead and pull it out. We're going to say he's a liar. He swore falsely. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to describe. Again, so first the Gemara was saying that it's actually the oath of how much it's worth that that's what the lender's saying. And then the Gemara says, but now that Rav Ashi, to explain Rav Huna's halacha, it comes at a different interpretation on Mishnah. No, the one who swears how much it's worth is the defendant, is the borrower. What the Mishnah is saying is not the one who takes the only oath. Who's the one that swears first? That is actually, like Rav Huna's halacha, the first one is the one we're concerned about, who always has to take an oath for a deposit which he's claiming he lost. We don't believe it that you say you lost it. You have to first swear, which is, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, he has to swear first, she'ein b'shusa, because if he doesn't go first, then we're concerned he might pull it out and try to prove the bar as a liar to set him up like that. And therefore, that's a different explanation on Mishnah in regards to who's going to be the one that actually makes the shvuah of how much the value of the collateral really was. Now the Gemara continues with a machlekes relating to the halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, "Haiman do esve alve zuzi lechavre." If someone lends his friend 1,000 zuz, umashkin lekot to the magla, and as collateral he gives him the handle of a sickle. That's it, just the handle of a sickle. That's the collateral. Says Shmuel, "Avid kot to the magla." If the lender loses the collateral, even though it's just the handle of a sickle, avid alve zuzi, he has lost the entire loan, that of 1,000 zuz, because he agreed and he accepted that that is the collateral. You lost the collateral, you lose the loan. Now, as Rashi explains, in contrast, as long as the collateral, the handle of the sickle is still there, so obviously the lender could collect his whole entire debt. If, let's say, it was a regular loan, then after 30 days he could collect the loan. If it was, he specified a time, whenever that time reaches, then he could collect the amount of the loan. In other words, the borrower cannot tell the lender, what do you mean? You agreed and you accepted that this is going to be the collateral of that, but that's only for collateral. That's not for the purposes of payment. Now, in contrast, but since he did accept it for the purposes of collateral, as long as the lender does not give back the collateral, he cannot collect his loan. And moreover, he cannot go ahead and compensate the borrower for the collateral because that wasn't the agreement. The agreement was, you give me back the collateral, I pay up the loan. Since he can't, he lost it, so Shmuel says he lost the entire loan. Avol, but says Shmuel, tarti katati. But let's say he, for collateral, took 2 handles, and he lost one of them. Then loy. Then we don't say that each handle is half of the loan, and that each one is for the value of 500 zuz. And therefore, if he loses one of the handles, he does not lose 500 zuz, because he didn't say that this handle's for 500 and this handle's for 500. Rather, both of the handles are the collateral for the one loan of the 1,000 zuz, which is for the purposes of mashkin, not of peroin, not of payment. Therefore, since he's giving back part of the mashkin, he's giving back one of the handles, whatever he's missing from the mashkin, then he compensates him that value, which is the value of a handle, but he doesn't lose 500 of the zuz. In contrast, Rav Nachman, he says, afilu tarti katasi. He says, no, even if it was a case of 2 handles, and he didn't specify, but still we assume that, okay, so one handle is for half, and one handle is for the other half. And therefore, if he loses one handle, yeah, he loses half the loan. Avad chad, if he loses one handle, avad chamesh meh, he lost 500 zuz. Avad idach, avad kule, he loses the other one, then he lost the whole loan. Avol, but says Rav Nachman, he agrees, katev v'naschaloi. So let's say for the collateral, he took 2 things, not 2 handles, but a handle and an ingot of gold. Then we don't say that the ingot is half of it, and the handle's the other half. Because since the ingot is something that's fit for to be used as payment, not as collateral, just as collateral, so he did not accept it just for the value, that he actually accepted for the value of itself in the form of payment. And therefore, that's not going to be qualifying as we have in the case of when you have a collateral and you lose one collateral of the two. So then Rav Nachman says, okay, then you're going to have to lose half the loan, because actually the kata is as collateral. The nasr is actually not taken in the form and the context of collateral, and therefore if you lose that, you pay for the value, but I mean the lender has to compensate the borrower for that value, but he doesn't lose half of his loan. In contrast, Nardoi Amri, they say, no, even a handle and the ingot, which is like a block of gold, of a nasr, of a palga, if you lose the ingot of gold, although that's something that you would use normally as payment, they hold that no, it's still collateral, and you lose that one, that's half of the collateral, that's half of the loan. And of it kata, of it cool, you lose the handle, you lose the other half. So we have a three machlik is how to qualify losses of the lender of collateral in regards to his losing out on his loan, or does he just compensate the borrower for the loss of the collateral? Now the Gemara asked Tanan, the Gemara asked on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Selahil v'sichalav. The lender tells the borrower that on this collateral I lent you a selah, v'shekel ha'yishava, and the collateral that I lost to you was only worth a half a selah, a shekel. And v'alo eimer loy, the borrower says, no. Kiela selahil v'sichalav, yes, you lent me a selah, v'shloisha dinar ha'yishava. And the collateral was worth more than what you're saying. Yes, it was worth less than the loan, but it wasn't worth only 2 dinar, it was actually worth 3 dinar. And that, as we quoted in the Mishnah says chayiv. So the borrower is liable to swear a shua, might be mixes, because he's admitting from the 2 dinarim left over from the deficiency of the loss of the collateral is another shekel, is 2 dinarim, and he's admitting to only 1 of those 2 dinarim, because he's saying that the collateral was worth more than what the lender, the claimant, is claiming. But one thing is, we don't say that since the lender lost the collateral, that he lost all his money. And that asks the Gemara why. According to Shmuel, lemele hukabilte. Let the borrower tell the lender, that's it. You lost the collateral. This, everyone agrees. If he lost this one collateral from these 3-way machlekes, that he lost the whole loan. So what are we saying to this chayv shumayt mixes? What's chayv? He doesn't owe him anything. He since he lost the collateral, he doesn't owe him any loan. So the Gemara, no, masnitin be the parish. Our mission is where he specified and he said, I'm not accepting on me when I'm taking your collateral, just the responsibility of the value of the collateral itself. In contrast, Shmuel b'loy parish. Shmuel was when he didn't say that. Therefore, if he didn't say that, when we assume that, yes, it's the equivalent of the loan itself. You lose the collateral, you lost the loan. Whereas the mission was saying, we said, okay, look, I lent you $1,000. You gave me a $50 item. If I lose it, I accept responsibility for $50, but I'm not going to cancel the whole loan by losing the collateral. Now the Gemara says, "Let me continue." Let's actually say that this teaching of Shmuel is contingent on machlekes tanoim from the following brisa. The brisa says as follows: Amalves chaver al mashkin. If someone lends his friend money on collateral, va'aved amashkin. In the case we're describing, he loses the collateral. So the first opinion says yishava. So the lender swears that he lost it. V'yitles ma'isav, and then he goes and he collects the debt that's owed him from the borrower. That's the Rebbe Eliezer. But Kibayim, he disagrees. He says, no, Yachalu Shayemle, the borrower could tell the lender, Kolom Hil Visani El Alamashkin, the money that you lent me was only correlating to the collateral. Avid Amashkin, Avid Moisecha, you lost the collateral, you lost your money. Aval, but the Sefer the Brisa says, Hamalva Elav Zuz Bishtar, if let's say he lent him 1,000 zuz in a document, Venich Mashkin Yodai, and the borrower gives the lender a collateral, and he loses it, there says the Mishnah, there says the Brisa, Divya Kol, everyone would agree with it, Avra Mashkin, Avdim Oesav. Even Rebbe Lez would agree that if the lender lost the collateral, then he would lose all his money. But one thing says the Gemara is, Hechidem, what's this case of the Brisa Toma? For the case of the Resha. If the collateral equals exactly the amount of the loan, so then it's a ketim top of memdal manalf. My time is Rebbe Eliezer. How would we understand Rebbe Eliezer? How could he say that he swears that he lost it and then he collects his debt? What do you mean? You lost the collateral, which was $1,000, and the loan was $1,000. So how would you collect your debt? Elalav, but loy shavi shir zuzi. Obviously, it must be talking about that it's not equal to the amount of the loan. And ubedishmul kamiflagi. And what's the machlekes Rebbe Eliezer and Remeir? Is the machlekes in the halacha of Shmuel, and that is, Rebbe Eliezer does not hold the halacha of Shmuel. And that is, a mashkin that's not equal to the entire amount of the debt, the lender does not accept it as the equivalent of the loan. Rather, he takes the collateral as a way of reminding themselves of the loan. So actually, essentially, the role of the lender in regard to the collateral is like one of a shemachinim. He's watching it without getting paid for it. So when he loses it, you know what he does? According to Rebbe Eliezer, he swears that he wasn't negligent and that's not still in his domain, and he actually could collect his entire loan. In contrast, Rebbe Kiva holds like Shmuel that no, the purpose of this mashkin was for the purposes of collateral. And therefore, if he loses it, he loses the whole loan, which is like the halacha of Shmuel. Now, whereas the case of the Seifa, if let's say he lends him 1,000 zuz in the document, that's what the Braisa was saying. Yemi Rabbi Elazar would agree that that what he's accepting it is definitely in the utility of a mashkin of collateral, meaning to be the equivalent of the loan, and then therefore, if he loses that, he loses the whole loan, because you don't need it as a zichur and devarim. Like Rabbi Elazar usually holds that the collateral is not really collateral, just a reminder, because you already have the document as a proof. So you don't need this to show, obviously I lent you money because what am I doing with your object over here? No, you have a document that proves it. What's this mashkin? It must be as collateral, which is the equivalent of the loan. You lose that, you lose everything. But seemingly, says the Gemara, that the halacha of Shmuel is machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara on the next daf disproves and says, no, not necessarily. There are other interpretations we can give in this machlekes, and not necessarily are they disagreeing in the halacha of Shmuel itself.